Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Over the next week, we're going to be checking in with city leaders across South Dakota for updates on how their communities are dealing with COVID-19 as it affects schools, businesses, healthcare facilities, and much more. Well, one city in the southeastern part of the state that already has a mask ordinance in place is Vermilion. Joining us with details and a closer look at Vermilion's battle with COVID-19, we welcome today Mayor Kelsey Collier-Wise. Mayor, welcome back to In the Moment. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
I think we should start with the mask ordinance because it is something many cities across the state are kind of grappling with. Tell us how it works and how masking works in the city of Vermilion.
So we took a little bit of a different approach. At the time that we were looking at this, there was no one that was really doing anything with masks in South Dakota, but we felt compelled as we were looking at students coming back to our city that we had to do something. Our population was about to double with people coming from all over the country, and we just didn't feel like it made sense to not take any action. And at that point, the university had already decided that they were going to require masks on campus. And so we were trying to look at ways that we could create continuity between the campus and the rest of the community. So the way that we approached it was to pass a resolution that said that we encourage masks and talking about the importance of masking in public, and then pass an ordinance that required all public spaces to post a sign that said masks expected. And those signs match the signs that are on campus. So again, it creates a citywide culture, whether you're on campus or in a local business, that in Vermilion, masks are expected, and that is the culture here.
Did you receive support, pushback? How contentious was it? And then once the decision was made, did that, kind of go away as people got used to it, or did it ramp up more as people resisted more? Tell us a little bit about the response is what I'm asking for there.
For the most part, we didn't receive a lot of pushback. We weren't asking a lot of the businesses. We provided the signs or provided them a link where they could print their own. We also said, if you want to do a sign that's stylized to match your brand or your business, that you can do that. You don't have to use ours. So in that way, we didn't see a lot of pushback. There were grumbling from some people in the community. But for the most part, Vermilion has been very on board with this idea. And certainly anecdotally, I think that we have some of the best mask compliance in the state.
I want to talk about that on boardness, if you will. Do you think, you've lived in Vermilion for some time, and as mayor, you kind of have your finger on the pulse as well. Is that based on the culture of Vermilion before COVID-19? Is it based on messaging? Is it based on a sense of community? Like, what do you attribute the response and sort of the overall support of it? And I fully acknowledge there are people listening who are, would have a different story to tell in their community group that is opposed to the mask ordinance. But overall, what do you attribute this success of the ordinance at least to?
I think a lot of it has to do with the community that existed before. I don't think that it was anything special that we as a council came up with that convinced everyone. I think the unity between the university and the city and the community in general was a big part of that. That, you had these big institutions that were all fully on board. Our Chamber of Commerce was on board. We had meetings between all of these different entities to say, like, this is what we have decided as a full community. And so I think that makes a big difference. We are a community that really comes together, I think. I mean, that's one of the reasons that I love Vermilion. We're a very educated community. You've got a community full of health experts and scientists, just like living down the street from you. And so, I mean, I think that makes a big difference when you're talking about these public health issues.
Yeah, you also have the challenge of that population, which ebbs and flows as students leave for home, and the challenges of keeping them not only in, public school, elementary, K-12, but also at the university. Let's talk a little bit about the other efforts for mitigation and addressing illness? How does a mask ordinance fit in to a bigger picture of what a community like Vermilion is trying to do to keep people safe during a pandemic?
Yeah, obviously the, you know, masking is only one piece. And I think, especially because it's become politicized, it's become maybe overly focused on. I mean, masking is very important when you go out in public, but we know if you are masking everywhere in public, but still having 20 people over to your house, you know, that it's not necessarily going to make a big impact in stemming the spread. So some of it has been, you know, trying to get that message out, not just about masking, but about distancing, about keeping your bubble small. The university has done a really good job in trying to keep students engaged on that. You know, they had a really, you know, complex policy as far as when someone was sick and quarantined and their contacts and tracing. And so I think they did a really good job of doing their best when there was a pocket of infection to keep that from spreading throughout the community. And, you know, certainly our numbers aren't great. They're not great anywhere in South Dakota. But with all that we were up against, I feel like we held the line pretty well. And our goal was to make it to Thanksgiving. And I think that we got pretty close to making it there before USD went, you know, partially remote. And so I, you know, as much as you can in these times, I would call it a success.
Yeah. What are you hearing from your healthcare providers in the community about capacity and treatment and just the number of people who are falling ill? And likewise, expand on that and just let's talk about people who know people. And Vermilion's a small community. Everybody knows somebody who's sick by this point. So tell me a little bit first, Mayor Collier-Wise, what are you hearing from healthcare providers in the community? What's how is the situation on the ground?
I mean, I think much like across the state, there's a lot of exhaustion. There's a lot of frustration, you know, talking to doctors who say, well, like, you know, I tried to send a COVID patient to Sioux Falls and they couldn't take them, so I had to send them elsewhere. Or, you know, just people that are kind of at the end of their rope and feeling like they are shouting into the wind about safety precautions and taking this seriously. And, you know, I think it would be very difficult to do a job that is so taxing, both psychologically and physically, and then feel like your state isn't always supporting you and isn't always doing the small things that they could do to make life easier. And that's definitely what I'm hearing from people locally.
When people fall ill, then there's also this sense of collective anxiety. And as we lose more and more South Dakotans, collective grief, it feels heavier and heavier. How does a community like Vermilion hold up in that regard?
I think one of the difficulties right now is that, you know, we aren't all together. We've lost people that we haven't been able to get together and mourn. And that's such an important process, I feel like, you know, for when you're experiencing grief, is that collective mourning, and we haven't been able to do that. And I think that that's been difficult. You know, one of the things, and I think, again, this is true throughout the state, is people don't always know when someone passes away that it's COVID-related. This is not something that's being generally included in obituaries, and it's not something that's necessarily broadcast. And so sometimes there's a feeling of not really knowing how difficult this disease is and how many people it's taking, because there's this sort of vague idea of like, well, people are passing away, but is it this or is it that, you know, or an idea that it's all a certain demographic of people when, you know, young people have died of COVID in this community, people my age. And so it's difficult to have a, a very straightforward conversation when there's so little information, I think.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about statewide response. And you said there is some things that could be done that would make life easier. What are some of those things that would just take a little bit of this pressure off of mayors like yourself?
Well, I think, you know, the Medical Association has come out and made some recommendations for what they would like to see for easing pressure on the medical establishments. And I 100% agree with them. think that we need to listen to those people that are serving us. On the local government side, you know, we have gotten some CARES Act funds to help us out, which has been great. But, you know, our local businesses are really struggling. And one of the difficulties in a community like ours, where so many of our local businesses are aimed at the students, their restaurants, their bars, their things that are really difficult to run in a COVID-friendly way. And, you know, those businesses were not given the tools that they needed to be able to get through this. It was basically like go back to business as usual or shut down. And that's no choice, you know, at all for them. And so I think that they've had to exist in this really difficult place where they really can't go back to normal, because the fact is that if you don't have consumer confidence, if people don't feel safe in their communities, if they've got family members that they're taking care of, if their work is messed up, if they've got kids at home quarantined that they're trying to teach, like, those people are not going out and spending money and supporting local businesses in the way that they traditionally have. So just saying, let's pretend like everything's normal, isn't going to work. Those businesses needed, you know, support from the very beginning to allow them to get through this. And I know that that's something that many of them are continuing to struggle with.
The number of deaths in South Dakota continues to rise, and we anticipate it will continue to do so. Judging from our current hospital capacity, we know the weeks ahead are going to be a very difficult weeks for sure. When you talk to mayors across the state in different communities, is there a sense of fear for how bad this could actually keep getting?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of frustration. You know, they're, in many cases, local governments are being asked to do things that we don't have the capacity or the authority to do. And it just feels very frustrating and kind of like you're out on your own. There was a recent article that I read that said, who would want to run for mayor in 2021? And I think, you know, the joke there is that this has been really stressful on a lot of local leaders, and just feeling, you know, kind of powerless, but also on the spot. And, you know, right now, I think we're all doing as much as we can. We're doing as much as we feel like we have the authority to do. We're doing the things that we think would have some effect. But I don't think that people necessarily realize that list of things is pretty limited.
Are you in, I mean, how does it work? How do you explain to people in Vermilion about contact with the governor's office or contact with the State Department of Health, or, you know, access to some of those resources, getting messages to the governor of what is needed? What is that process like, and has it been working?
I mean, as mayors, we do, we have regular meetings, and the governor has attended some of those meetings. And then, you know, we work very closely with the Municipal League, kind of as our representative, to reach out to state governments. It's not always easy, you know, to try and get the information that we need, to try and get the help that we need. And I'm not sure exactly where that disconnect always is. You know, there's people obviously working very, very diligently in state government on behalf of all of us. But certainly through this process, you know, there's been a lot of feeling of not always having the support that we really need to be able to serve our citizens, and then not having answers for them, you know, when they come to us. And that's difficult because we're the ones that see them every day.
Some healthcare workers on social media have talked about feeling abandoned and betrayed. Do you think that those words are too strong? Are those words that make sense for the exhaustion and the fatigue and the frustration of November in South Dakota?
I think that sounds pretty accurate. And again, I'm not the one that's working 12-hour shifts, you know, trying to keep people alive under layers and layers of PPE. I can't even imagine what those folks have gone through, being taken away from their families in some cases. You know, we're coming up on the holidays, and there's people that are going to be traveling and spending time with a bunch of their families, while at the same time our, you know, our healthcare workers are going to be trying to save people. And so I don't think that those words are too strong at all. I can't imagine what they're going through.
Last thought before we let you go, Mayor, is Thanksgiving in the University of South Dakota. There's a sense of, you know, going home for the holidays and getting tested. What has the message been from the city of Vermilion about that transitional time and gathering for Thanksgiving break?
Well, I think the university made a smart decision to allow students that wanted to quarantine before they went home to move to remote, so that they would have, you know, that time period where they weren't around anyone else before they went back to their hometowns. And, you know, that's not a huge difference for us, right? When they go, that's just a little bit less density for us. But, you know, they were thinking of all those small towns that these students are going back to, and the grandparents and aunts and uncles and parents, and trying to keep them safe. So they also had some mass testing, free testing that was available, and encouraged students get tested before you go home. They did a lot of marketing on that. And so, again, I think everyone did the most they could to try and make sure that we weren't just sending, you know, just kind of like we have the thousands of people coming from all over the country to us. We don't want to then just send it back to spread the virus further. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that the Vermilion community, you know, with USD obviously being such a huge part of it, obviously their planning is a huge part of anything else that we do. But there's always that piece of what can we do and how can we take care of people and what's going to be the best for the most people. I mean, that's always the top of everyone's mind around here. And I think that has made the whole process easier, that you're just surrounded by a lot of really conscientious people who are thinking about how can we care for our fellow human being.
Yeah. Kelsey Collier-Wise is mayor of the city of Vermilion. Thank you so much, Mayor, for being here with us today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Lori.